RTE 2FM. Big Now, it has been a while, but often on a Wednesday, we do our little thing called Back in Time, and it's really simple. We just take a random year and we remind ourselves of the big showbiz and the news stories that emerged during those 12 months. Cormac Battle is here with all the goss, Cormac. How are you?
All the gossip from 2007. Just want to ask you a quick question. How much is a pint of Guinness in 2007? What do you think?
2007, I just moved back from the UK. I would 420.
No, not bad. 380.
Oh, whoa. 380.
Yeah. It's cheap enough, isn't it?
It is. When you say,
How much is a pint of Guinness now, anyone?
Five.
About five, or is it?
Five something.
Five-ish, yeah. So, 2007, lots of things happened that you will have forgotten about, as you will see. But it was, look, the world changed forever on the 29th. Of June in 2007 because the Apple iPhone was released. But like nobody knew what was to come, what this was to cause. And it was the first modern smartphone because like there were the Blackberries and all that kind of stuff beforehand, but this kind of changed everything. It's like the world would not be scrolling through social, everyone wouldn't be looking down scrolling through social media if the iPhone hadn't have been invented and released. Twitter wouldn't have happened, Instagram wouldn't have happened because you have to be able to take it out of your pocket and do it there and then, because up to that point, up to 2007, most people access the internet by their computer at home or on a laptop. They didn't use devices in their pockets. So it connected everyone in that way and turned us all into photographers as well. You forget the amount of photographs that have been taken since 2007 because of the release of the iPhone. And it made Apple the largest company on planet Earth, the iPhone. It has sold 2.3 billion copies. You don't get copies of enough phone. 2.3 billion units of the iPhone have been sold so far, but it hasn't really changed since it came out in 2007. I think I got one in 2008. It's just evolved. But the funny thing is, at the time, of course, there were doubters, and like Microsoft would have been Apple's
competitor.
Enemy. You know what I mean? And so this is a great clip at the time of the CEO, a guy called Steve Ballmer. He's the CEO of Microsoft at the time. And this is his reaction to the launch of the iPhone.
$500, fully subsidized with a plan. I said, that is the most expensive phone in the world. And it doesn't appeal to business customers because it doesn't have a keyboard, which makes it not a very good email machine. Let's see. What's the expression? Let's see how the competition goes.
I know, yeah.
Absolutely bricking it.
Oh, God.
Absolutely. You can hear the fear in his voice.
You can hear the fear in his voice. And he was so wrong. Oh, my God.
Doesn't have a keyboard?
But can you really imagine how much that changed the world
that
we live in now? Mm. It really has. Some say for the better, some say for the worse. But I suppose it's a mix of lots of things. Like lots of things we talk about on the show wouldn't be talked about if it wasn't for the iPhone that came out to, you know, social media.
I can't remember the year I got it. It was probably around 2008 as well.
I think,
then I was on the trajectory of, oh, I need to get the newest one. I need to get the update
did
and
you
changing your plan.
Yeah.
I did that for, I know, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I went really, really big. And now I'm really small. And people are like, look at the state of your phone. I was like, because I have the mini.
Yeah, it looks
the
like
mini
a phone.
Version.
It looks like a phone from 2007.
Yeah, but it's great because when you're going out at night, you can't get the big ones into your handbag or your pocket. So that's why I like the mini. But it's actually the 13.
So they
I think
haven't
it's
really
now.
Changed that much.
And they like haven't,
Apple,
have they?
And
they
were the thing that Apple completely changed the fortunes of Apple as a country as well. So there you go.
Okay.
That was
a big year.
Big game changer.
Okay, and what about news stories?
Another news story which obviously dominated 2007. I tell you what, before I tell you about, you'll probably know what this story is about even when you hear a clip about the news as it was breaking.
Some more breaking news for you this morning. We're just hearing that a search is underway for a three-year-old British girl who's gone missing in the Algarve area of Portugal, and she went missing last night. Hundreds of people have been searching for the girl, and that search continuing this morning. So we will try to get as much on that as for you as soon as we can.
And the search continues in April 2023.
Exactly, and it has been described as the most heavily reported missing person case in the history. And she, look, Madeleine McCann, it was on for people who don't know the story, I'll just briefly give it to you. Like, on the evening of the 3rd of May in 2007, 3-year-old British girl Madeline McCann went missing from her bed of her holiday apartment in Portugal. Like, even I can't remember the details myself. But what happened was she was left asleep with her 2-year-old twin siblings at 8:30 in the evening in the ground floor of their holiday apartment while her parents, Jerry and Kate, were dining in a restaurant 55 metres away from the apartment. So it wasn't that far away from it, but they'd left the children asleep in the apartment. Kate had gone back a number of times in the intervening period to check if they were okay, look in. But when she went back at 10 p.m, Madeline was gone from her bed. So initially, Jerry and Kate, the parents, became suspects by the for the Portuguese police. But that was the evidence wasn't there mm-hmm. to convict them of anything. So that was all dropped in 2008. And Kate and Jerry continued the investigation using private detectives until the British police got involved. Sometime later, treating the disappearance of Madeline as a planned abduction or a burglary gone wrong. Like, as you said, she hasn't been found. There have been numerous leads since. It pops up, you know, nearly every year. There's always stories about she's been seen here or there, or people have talked about, you know, people confessing to the crime and so on. But like in 2020, police in Germany announced, this was kind of like a very big development, there was a new suspect in the case, with one public prosecutor in Germany saying that he was convinced that this German man had abducted and murdered Madeline. But this line of inquiry is still open. So that may, the Germans think this case is finished and they have the person who did it. However, that you might remember in February of this year, mm-hmm. A Polish woman came forward stating that she believed she was Madeline McCann, that she was the person, because she had certain marks on her body, like freckles and so on, that identified her. And her claim was then dismissed recently after a DNA test proved that she wasn't Madeline at all. Her whereabouts is still unknown. Kate and Jerry said recently on their website, and I quote, "Even though the possibility may be slim, we have not given up hope that Madeline is still alive and we will be reunited with her. And if she is out there somewhere, she will be celebrating her 20th birthday next month."
Wow.
20th birthday.
Wow.
So, yeah, it still goes on to fascinate.
Still an ongoing
people.
Story.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Still, it's still kind of like, oh my God, you know, it's still awful.
But when you said it, I mean, I know the story. I've heard the story. I've read the story. I've seen the story. We all have. But when you said 55 metres away, and left them sleeping in the ground floor apartment, it just gave me the shivers.
And that divides opinion everywhere. Whether that, yeah. you know, that divides opinion, and yeah. that debate rolls and rolls and
absolutely.
Rolls. Absolutely,
look,
rolls and
they
rolls.
It does divide opinion, but nobody deserves that to happen to their child. Nobody deserves that. Nobody deserves this kind of a life that there's this hell that they're still in.
Yeah.
I think we all learned a lesson from that as well. A hard lesson, and I wish we didn't have to learn it that way, but I think we all did. Okay, so you want to talk about God Save the Queen?
God Save the Queen, yeah. Well, God Save the Queen. The Queen is gone. But what I mean is, this is an episode that happened in Croke Park in 2007. So Lansdowne Road, which was the home of Irish football and rugby, was being redeveloped. So they had to move the games, the rugby and the football. And Croke Park and the GAA kindly said, you can play some of the games in Croke Park, you know, because there was Irish internationals and so on. So on the 24th of February of that year, Ireland faced England in the Six Nations rugby. And so obviously national anthems have to be sung. And so there was loads of anxiety coming up to the match as to what type of reaction there would be when the English national anthem, God Save the Queen, would be sung for the first time ever at Croke Park. And like, you have to think as well, at the time, this was played out to some extent against the backdrop of what happened on Bloody Sunday in 1920, when 14 people were shot dead by British forces in Croke Park. So there was a lot, again, this was very heavy on a debate and divided opinion. This was a vox pop of some GAA fans in Dublin about a week before it happened, and their views on the God Save the Queen being played, should or should it not be played in Croke Park.
Okay.
And this is what they said.
No problem, man. No problem.
Not too impressed about it, no.
It's definitely a disgrace. Shouldn't be played there at all.
I think we have to move on a little bit from the past.
It's great. Oh, the country should be allowed to sing the national anthem. It's great. We're very happy with it.
Okay.
And I was surprised by that because I thought it would have been all no. This is just like, you know, the
well, we
some
have to
places
move on.
Are sacred. But yeah, I was surprised even then that
yeah.
people were saying, yes, let's get on with it. And what do you think? You probably can't remember. Because I couldn't. What do you think happened when the national anthem, God Save the Queen, was sung in Croke Park?
I don't remember, but I don't think it, did anything
nothing
happen? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. There was no interruption, no incidents at all.
Good.
But Ireland went on to beat England by the biggest margin ever.
Yay!
So that was it. So it went without incident, and it was
good.
I don't know. It was progress.
Let them sing their anthem. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was absolutely progress.
Okay, now let's do showbiz. What is your pick of 2007?
2007, it would, my pick, there was many things, but it was the year that some would say Britney Spears had her quote unquote meltdown. So Britney Spears, the incident, the whole incident kind of unraveled when Britney Spears had fled a rehab facility in Antigua and turned up at her ex-husband Kevin Federline's house.
Oh, is that what happened?
She came back to Kevin Federline's house, right? And she demanded to see
her kids?
Their sons.
Okay.
Or her sons. And he refused and said no. So she kind of took this in whatever way she did. She left. And for some reason, she decided to take herself to a hair salon in Los Angeles and asked to have her head shaved. The hairdresser tried to talk her out of it, but Britney grabbed the clippers herself. And of course, there's paparazzi and stuff outside because they were following her and they got all pictures and video of her in there. And she started cutting her own hair off in there. Obviously, she was, you know, she was in very serious psychological distress at the time. But have a listen. This is an eyewitness that was there when she arrived at this hairdresser's, and they tell us exactly what happened.
She said she wanted her head shaved. The hairdresser refused, so she literally grabbed the hair clipper and started doing it herself. They asked why she wanted to shave her head, and she said, I don't want anyone touching me. I'm tired of everybody touching me.
I think it was just like one of those moments you just wanted to kind of like escape from who she was.
If somebody didn't let me see my kids, I would do more than shave my head. I would shave everybody's head. I would go absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
Being told, I mean, she's not in a right frame of mind. She's coming out of rehab. All she wants to do is see her kids. Okay. Was it a good idea? Maybe that could have been handled better. But to be
told,
she was
on her own.
No,
though, you know?
She was completely on her own. It is so sad. It's so distressing to watch. I feel for her so much. And she just didn't know what to do. She just wanted to crawl out of her own body.
Yeah, crawl out of her own body. And I think this is in some way just a way of, as I said, escaping yourself and just trying not to be who you are anymore without taking any further drastic measures. But like, you know, to see somebody having such a public meltdown, it's very uncomfortable. And of course, you know, everybody, the press,
and
the
now
tabloids,
we all know why.
Are having an absolute field day.
Well, everything
over the
kind of unraveled
thing.
And over the last couple of years, we found out what was going on with conservatorships and
yeah,
because
like, it was only just after that event happened that she was placed under that conservatorship, which meant her dad, Jamie, had control over her finances and her personal assets, everything basically. And that lasted for 13 years after that happened. So, and she kind of, she was gone from the scene. She really hasn't emerged since, but she's there all right. But like, this was the showbiz story of her meltdown in 2007.
Well, we all remember that and the visuals to it as well. Okay, what was the big tune of 2007? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this song is widely acknowledged as the track that, I didn't realise Rihanna had two career before 2007. I thought this song is where she kind of emerged, but she was kind of slightly girl next door, not as kind of dangerous as a pop star. They changed her image, and this song transformed her, and I quote, these are not my words, into a fully fledged sex symbol and pop icon.
Yeah. Is Jay-Z taking responsibility for that?
Jay-Z's involved in that, yeah, big time. Did you ever hear of the Rihanna curse?
No.
The Rihanna curse, I only found out doing this, is when that song came out, it came out in some countries and they were having a heat wave. And when it went to number one in the UK, they had an extreme rainfall situation as soon as it went to number one. New Zealand, it was sunny and massive storms broke out. And the same happened in Romania. And it became known as the Rihanna curse when that song went to number one. The torrential rain and storms broke out. I don't know if it's true.
And she came
to
Ireland and filmed a video here, and it's never stopped raining since.
Yes, exactly.
There we go. Let's blame Rihanna. That is 2007. Oh, my days. Yep. Oh, stop saying that. 2007. Done and dusted. Thanks a million for that, Cormac. And here's the big tune in full. Here is Rihanna featuring Jay-Z with Umbrella. Enjoy. Am I allowed to play this?
Who cares? Why wouldn't you be?
Two Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.